You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
We light this chalice as a visible reminder of our connection to Unitarian communities everywhere and to all humanity. Let this light shine as a symbol of the common flame of humanity which dances in every heart, kindling joy and hope, touching all who feel it with warmth of love, burning away hatred and anger, and lighting the way to a better future. As we turn our attention to the world outside, may we retain an awareness that within us lies a sacred space, a place of calm and balance. May the stillness go with us into the busyness of our lives and be for us a sacred oasis of peace. The address this morning is community. What does community mean to you? That photograph there may evoke some thoughts of community. A suburban area, houses close to each other, communities where people live are different worldwide. Just as we have come here this morning with different thoughts floating around in our heads, different ideas on many subjects, different opinions on a range of topics and different reasons for being here in this space at this time, so it is with the world, the differences. Yet we are here, some gathering here regularly for a long period of time, some for not as long a time as others, and maybe for some others for a short time. What motivates us to come together to be a part of this particular group? A group which some might call eclectic, due to the broad acceptance of beliefs represented by a membership. One of the connecting threads, I believe, that draws us together is, and I think it's most probably the most important one, the spiritual path that we individually are on, seeking support from this community. There's that word community again. And in the story of the Bunyip from Berkeley's Creek this morning, that Bunyip was looking for community, for likeness. And the word is used so often in so many different situations. For example, in the newspaper The Age on Tuesday morning this week, there was an article by John Fain concerning the lockdown of the Victorian community. In it he states, "Victoria and Melbourne are more than an economy. We are a society and a community. We do not measure our success or failure only according to a balance sheet. To seek to measure our well-being by economies alone is to misunderstand everything this community has become. That those interests are dominating the debate is a sign of their muscle and media savvy, but not their deep connection to the people." The word community used in this sense suggests a good deal of cohesion within the Victorian population, doesn't it? This concept has been seized upon by journalists and others to describe groups of people who are connected by race or religion. For example, when referring to immigrants, it is not uncommon to see them referred to as belonging to an Islamic community. It is also used in marketing to describe a group of car enthusiasts, for example, the Holden car community, or even to describe people who choose not to eat meat products as the vegan community. Another example of the widespread use of the word community occurs in times of crisis, where the people directly affected by the crisis are often referred to as being a community that supports each other, pulls together, and has the connected ability to get through the crisis. That is, we are all in this together. Dictionaries defining the word community at times offer complex definitions in an apparent attempt to cover the variety of meanings associated with the word. For example, the Merriam-Webster dictionary offers this definition. One, a unified body of individuals such as the people with common interests living in a particular area, a group of people with a common characteristic or interest living together within a larger society, a group of people with linked by a common policy, an interacting population of various kinds of individuals such as species in a common location. Fairly wordy, isn't it? And by the end of that, you're wondering, well, what are they on about? The Cambridge Dictionary gives a more concise definition describing the community as the people living in one particular area or people who are considered as a unit because of their common interest, social group or nationality. Both definitions focus on the concept related to groups of people living together in a location that might be as broad as neighbourhood, suburb, township, city or nation. The definitions refer to connections through beliefs and values, but the concept of members of a community being linked by relationships is not, or maybe only hinted at. If you think of an academic community, then the main focus of that community appears to be an area of education or higher learning. However, would simply having a common interest in knowledge and learning be enough to make the community a strong, well-functioning one? Or is there another element that is vitally important, part of the process? Relationships, of course, are the glue for keeping the community functioning, and naturally the relationships between members needs to be positive. Now, you all know I'm a teacher by trade, a retired one, but still in my blood. The last school that I worked in was a great example of relationships working within a community. The staff had, as a whole, similar but not always the same ideas or beliefs in the value of the educational process of the children entrusted to their care. As such, it was a pretty harmonious staff. most probably the most harmonious staff I'd ever worked on, but with its fair share of diversity among the personalities that made up the staff. As an example of this was the obvious positive relationships developed between staff members, particularly in the teachers' common room and at various social functions. At the end of the year, staff dinner, which always took place on the last day of term at lunchtime, a much looked forward to event involved a ceremony called the Gumboot Award. This award consisted of a collection of some of the faux pas that had occurred with staff throughout the year, and the award was given to the one voted the best by a staff panel. It was always received in good faith and much merriment by the staff and never taken too seriously. In researching for this address, I came across a person called Fabian Fortmüller, a Swiss community builder in New York City, who is also a co-founder of the Together Institute. This organisation is dedicated to building caring, engaged and healthy communities and network neighbourhoods, organisations and society at large. Fabian is the co-author of the Community Canvas, an open source framework to support community builders across the globe, and is an innovator in residence for the Kaufman Foundation, which is an organisation supporting equity and inclusion in the US society, and certainly they need it at the moment. According to Fabian, the key element of community is the relationship between individuals, in particular relationships where members care for each other. He provides this definition of community. Community equals a group of people that care about each other and feel they belong together. Unlike a commercial definition of a community as associated with a particular product, Fortmüller views a community as not merely a random group of strangers brought together for some arbitrary commercial purpose, something like a cruise ship list of passengers, but rather a group of individuals who establish relationships with each other by truly caring for each other. This care for each other is stronger than the feeling of care they might have for the broader community or random strangers briefly met. From this deeper care, they develop a sense of trust with each other. This trust promotes the positive attributes of collaboration, support, sharing, and safety, to mention a few. Of these attributes, Fortmüller says trust is the most important. Humans on the whole are social beings. We carry with us the sense of need to belong. Loneliness is a challenge for us. Being a member of a functioning community enables us to feel that we belong. And within that group, we are accepted for who we really are. It is like being in a family that functions on the premise that you are accepted, warts and all, and can rely on guidance when you fall short of the mark based on a deep care or love. Another aspect of community is that the entire group is bigger than the individuals involved in the group. This feeling of being a part of something greater than an individual existence includes working towards common goals. Now, Fortmüller views goals as being grouped into internal and external goals. He claims that it is by taking care of each other that we are able to fully become involved with shared external goals. Without the trust and the strength of the relationships within the community, the external goals will diminish the effectiveness of the community and its function will be more akin to a movement or a project. However, if the internal functioning is on track through caring relationships, then the community has a greater chance of becoming a powerful force with the ability of achieving the external goals the community has set. The question could be asked whether it's necessary for a community to have the goals, the common goals. Fortmüller claims that it is an inevitable progression for a community to move towards common external goals. It also could be argued that without the community having an external goal as well as an internal focus, it is in danger of becoming too self-focused and insular or developing into an exclusive clique. So, the question is, what type of community do we have here at Osmond Terrace? What kind of community do we want to have moving forward? We all know that a community consists of people joined through relationships and common goals. So what kind of people do we want our community to consist of? Perhaps this poem by Dana Worsnop, who is a UUA minister in Ventura, California, will help guide our thoughts about this. I Want to Be With People is the title. Often people say that they love coming to a place with so many like-minded people. I know just what they're getting at, and I know they aren't getting it quite right. I don't want to be with a bunch of people who think just like me. I want to be in a beloved community where I don't have to think like everyone else to be loved, to be eligible for salvation. I want to be with people who value compassion, justice, love, and truth, though they have different thoughts and opinions about all sorts of things. I want to be with independent-minded people of good heart. I want to be with people who have many names and no name at all for God. I want to be with people who see in me goodness and dignity, who also see my failings and foibles, and who still love me. I want to be with people who feel their interconnection with all existence and let it guide their footfalls upon the earth. I want to be with people who see life as a paradox and not always rush to resolve it. I want to be with people who are willing to walk the tightrope that is life and who will hold my hand as I walk mine. I want to be with people who let church call them into a different way of being in the world. I want to be with people who support, encourage, and even challenge each other to higher and more ethical living. I want to be with people who inspire one another to follow the call of the Spirit. I want to be with people who covenant to be honest, engaged, and kind, who strive to keep their promises and hold me to the promises I make. I want to be with people who give of themselves, who share their hearts and minds and gifts. I want to be with people who know that the human community is often warm and generous, sometimes challenging, and almost always a grand adventure. In short, I want to be with people like you. Do you think that sounds a little bit utopian? A utopian community? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Remember Dr. Martin Luther King's famous words from that famous speech, "I have a dream." Just those words resonate, don't they? Let's concentrate on the future of this community at this time. Focus on what it might be like and frame it with Dr. King's, "I have a dream." For example, simply state in your mind something like, "I have a dream that our church will reach out to more young families in the wider community, offering assistance that supports them in practical ways." Let's take a minute of time to simply reflect on your thoughts or dreams for this community. In finishing, let us continue to face the grand adventure of community together, accepting each other as we are and building strong, caring relationships with each other. So be it. Go in peace. Let us go in peace, ascribing worth to all that is worthy in life, with hearts warmed by our fellowship with each other, encouraged and supported in facing the challenges which confront us, and filled with the energy, enthusiasm, and compassion which are to be found in our community of faith. Go in peace with hopes revived to live fully in a troubled world. So be it.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.